The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answered him from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks at the door, it will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if you have your child ask for a piece of fish, would you give him a snake instead of fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, over the past 2 weeks, we have been reminded what is asked of us as disciples of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan and then turned to his hearers with a command, "Go and do likewise." The life of a disciple calls us to extend mercy, grace, and compassion to our neighbor, especially the ones we might otherwise choose to cross the other side of the road to avoid. That kind of love is abstract, it's messy, and it's real, and it's deeply personal. Last week, we sat with Mary at the feet of Jesus. While her sister Martha was distracted by many things, Mary centered herself in God's presence and in God's word. The life of a disciple calls us to be still, to listen, to rest, to receive, to let Jesus minister to us so in turn we can minister to others. Today, we shift again from Jesus' call to love our neighbor, from his call to sit and listen at his feet, to the spiritual practice that strengthens and nourishes both: prayer. Luke tells us that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." It's a simple request, and yet it is full of deep and powerful meaning. Because what follows is not just a basic teaching on how to pray, but a powerful reminder to you and me about how to live. because the very act of prayer creates a wide open doorway into a full and active relationship with God. Jesus begins, "When you pray, say, Father." Now notice he didn't say, "O distant creator, not great unknowable force, but Father." Language that is in and of itself intimate. It is tender. It is close. Luke's gospel gives us a Jesus who prays constantly before big decisions, in moments of crisis, in the silence of solitude. Jesus' own prayer life then becomes a model for our own. It's not ritual. It's not obligation. It is at the very core, the very root, relationship. Gerhard Frost writes that the Lord's Prayer is perfect in proportion, unclouded in its spiritual direction, unselfish in its central ambition, unconfused as to the ultimate destination. In other words, it reminds us who we are praying to and why we pray in the first place. Frost continues, "From birth to death, from the font to the grave, the Lord's Prayer is with us. It is part of us in times of crisis, in times of tranquility, in upheaval, and in quiet growth. It is with us in the moving shadow times of day and in the bright sunshine of life." This prayer, these words, are always near to you and me. But Jesus gives more than just words. He gives us permission to pray boldly, to pray unashamedly, to pray persistently. In today's gospel, Jesus invites us to reimagine what prayer really is. It's not a wish list for a genie in a lamp. It's not a performance. And it's not a transaction. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is the language of a people who trust that their God listens and their God speaks and their God hears what we have to say. As Anne Lamott writes in her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, the Three Essential Prayers, she says this, "Prayer means that in some unique way, we believe we're invited into a relationship with someone who hears us when we speak in silence. Prayer is our sometimes real selves trying to communicate with the real, with truth, with the light. It is reaching out to be heard, hoping to be found by a light and warmth in the world instead of darkness and cold." Prayer is relationship. Sometimes messy, sometimes beautiful, often both. And the two best prayers Lamott says that she knows, "Help me, help me, help me," "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And isn't that so often the truth of our own prayer life? In moments of desperation, in moments of joy, these two prayers can carry the entire weight of our hearts. And yet, prayer is not always easy. There are moments in life when prayer feels impossible, when we are grieving, when we are afraid, when we are all alone, when we are overwhelmed, when God seems distant or silent. And we wonder, why should I even bother? I've stood with families in hospital rooms, sat with people who've lost jobs or a spouse or hope. And more than once, I have heard, I don't even know what to pray anymore. Maybe you have felt that too. Jesus certainly knew that feeling. In Gethsemane, as he prepared for the cross, he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. And on the cross itself, my God, why have you forsaken me? Prayer does not always change our circumstances, but it does change our hearts. And sometimes the very act of praying itself, of crying out, the naming of our need, the reaching toward something greater than ourselves, well, that is a sort of miracle. Jesus goes on to say, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. I find those words to be incredibly comforting, but I also find them to be incredibly challenging, because many of us have asked and not received, searched and come up empty, knocked and found no door opening. Jesus is not promising that we'll get everything we ask for. He is promising that God hears, that God is present, that the relationship is real and trustworthy. And the word Jesus uses for persistence in the parable about the man at midnight, well, that word is better translated as shamelessness. Pray shamelessly, pray boldly, pray fearlessly. Remember, prayer is not something we only do in isolation. It is also communal. It's not just between me and God. It's between us and God. When we gather as the church to pray, we join our voices across time and space, across generations and cultures. And prayer is not only words. Prayer is action. When we comfort the grieving, feed the hungry, stand with the marginalized, that is prayer in motion. That is prayer lived out. We are called not only to pray for peace, but to work for peace, not only to pray for healing, but to bring meals, make visits, advocate for justice. So the words of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, aren't just about someday off in the far distance. They are about today. They are an invitation to participate in God's ongoing work in the world, in the here and now. And then Jesus closes with a promise. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's the gift. That's the gift. Not always the specific things we want, but God's very presence, the Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the very breath of life. So why do we pray? Why bother? Because God invites us. Because God hears us. Because God loves us. We pray not because we have the right words, but because we believe that the relationship is real and trustworthy. We pray when words fail, both our own and our neighbors. We pray when joy overflows. We pray when we find ourselves at the end of our rope. We boldly, unashamedly pray, "Help me, help me, help me." We pray, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And in turn, we trust that the door is always open, the Spirit is always near, and that God is always listening, now and forever. Let it be so. Amen.